Mine would be just at Venice Mace, because I'm building my brand for myself. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, always at Venice Mace. So that would be on my
TikTok
chain. TikTok.
MySpace. You got them all.
MySpace. Whatever happened to MySpace? All right. So last night, first of all, we'll start with Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson made some horrible, despicable anti-Semitic comments the other day. And Steven Jackson originally sort of doubled down on those, ignoring the hate that those comments certainly represented. Last night, Steven Jackson appeared with Don Lemon on CNN.
I apologize for using the wrong words. As I first stated when I got on here, I could have changed my words. But it's nothing that said that I support any of that. It's nothing that I said that I hate anybody. I apologize for my words, and I could have switched up, but that's the end of it. I know I love everybody, and that's how I always stand. And I'm not going to let anybody demean my character, because I'm not standing up here apologizing for a job. I don't work for nobody. I'm apologizing because what I stand for is love for all who have love for all. And I mean that. Mm-hmm. And that's just why I draw the line.
So that's what Steven Jackson said last night, apologizing on Don Lemon. Apparently, Don Lemon is where, if you're an NBA player, you go to talk now. Lemon is, he's cornered this market.
I watched that whole show, and Steven was pretty defiant. He only issued that apology after Don kind of, for lack of a better term, wore him down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he had first said, I'm not apologizing. I stand by my guy, Deshaun Jackson. I don't think that he said anything wrong or did anything wrong. And Deshaun Jackson just, he was blatantly anti-Semitic. I mean, he just said a bunch of stuff.
That was terrible.
He invoked Hitler, which is a horrible idea in any context. It never works. Julian Edelman is like the one Jewish guy in the NFL. We've been saying for 2 days, where are the NFL players? Why haven't the NFL players condemned Deshaun Jackson the way they condemned Drew Brees? And, you know, I know they're different issues, but, hate is hate.
Yep.
And Edelman came out with, I thought, of a very – this runs a couple of minutes, so we'll let you listen to all 2 minutes of it. But the way he explains this and the way he handles it as a Jewish player in the NFL, I thought was pretty impressive. Here is Julian Edelman.
I've been getting hit up by everyone asking me about this Deshaun Jackson post. And I wanted to take some time before I responded because it's a complicated issue. And I wanted to be thoughtful. I know he said some ugly things, but I do see an opportunity to have a conversation. I'm proud of my Jewish heritage. And for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is. Antisemitism is one of the oldest forms of hatred. It's rooted in ignorance and fear. I remember experiencing a little bit of this hate in 2011 when I was called a kike on the football field. There's no room for antisemitism in this world. Even though we're talking about anti-Semitism, I don't want to distract from how important the Black Lives Matter movement is and how we need to stay behind it. It's really hard to see the challenges a community can face when you're not part of it. So what we need to do is we need to listen, we need to learn, we need to act. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're going to have real change. So to that end, Deshaun, let's do a deal. How about we go to D.C. and I take you to the Holocaust Museum? And then you take me to the Museum of African American History and Culture. Afterwards, we grab some burgers and we have those uncomfortable conversations. So to that end, Deshaun, let's do a deal.
Yeah, so I thought that was really smart.
Yeah, and it would be really smart for Deshaun Jackson to take him up on it.
I hope he does.
Yeah,
yeah,
me too.
I hope he does, because there just isn't any... I mean, you can't allow what Deshaun Jackson said to go unchecked. And to his credit, Deshaun has apologized twice. He's Funch, we don't have any of that, do we? Do we? I know it's a couple of days old, but Deshaun has done two videos where he's apologized. He's met with a rabbi. He's been condemned by the league. He's been condemned by the Eagles. The players have been slow to condemn him, but I thought Edelman
handled
that.
I got it.
All right, here's Deshaun, one of his apologies since he came out and made those comments.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my my Instagram story. I just want to extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. And, my post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted what I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. And I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm very apologetic, and I just want you guys to understand that it never was intended to put any race down or any religion down. I post things on my story all the time, and, I just probably shouldn't have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And, I was just trying to uplift, African-Americans and slavery and, just enlighten my people. So on behalf of myself, I just want to let you guys know I apologize. I didn't intend, any harm or any hatred towards any people. I'm for one. I'm for love. And I extend it every day. People that know me know I have no hatred in my heart, and I never try to, put another religion down to uplift my religion or my race. So, from the bottom of my heart, I just want you guys to understand that. And it's coming from me, my feelings. And, I just hopefully everybody respects my platform, my opinion, to try to just enlighten my people and just let everybody know that it's no hatred.
And I think that's a really genuine apology.
I think it's a good start, too. And now he needs to do what Michael Vick did and meet with people different than him. Take up Edelman on his offer. He's meeting with a rabbi in Philadelphia. He's going to have to dig out of a pretty big hole, because the owner, Jeff Lurie, of the Eagles, and the general manager, Howie Roseman, are both Jewish. So the guys he's working for were hit right in the bullseye here. And, the more people handle this like Edelman did and say, hey, look, let's use it as a teachable moment, maybe that's better. I said earlier in the show, I'm not sure that if I'm Roseman or if I'm Lurie that I keep him. But maybe he is doing all the right things, and you use the phrase cultural blind spot in the show. And maybe that's it. Maybe we treat it that way and see how he reacts from here. Michael Vick came all the way back, Mace, from his thing. Now, he did have to go to jail, and he spent 18 months in prison, and it wrecked his career. But you look at Michael Vick now, and there's no after effects of his dogfighting scandal. He's kind of turned the whole thing around.
No, he absolutely has. He absolutely has. And, in all the talk of the struggles of African-American people in this country, in the last month or so since the murder of George Floyd, since the killing of Breonna Taylor, since the killing of Ahmaud Arbery, I think it was a missed opportunity to acknowledge that the African American community isn't the only one that has suffered in the world. The oppression and the brutality against Jews in history has been just horrific. Clearly that wasn't the forefront of what Deshaun Jackson was thinking. He picked up, and again, if you go down rabbit holes on the internet, you will find stuff that should stay down there. He grabbed an anti-Semitic trope from some chat board or some, Reddit line or somewhere, QAnon. I mean, I don't know where he got it, but it's a classic anti-Semitic trope, and it should have stayed buried. He wasn't thinking. It was a cultural blind spot. I don't think this is call for Deshaun Jackson to be, quote unquote, canceled. I think he's shown genuine remorse, and that was a heartfelt apology. And I hope he takes up Edelman on the offer to go to the National Holocaust Museum to understand better what he's learning right now.
And by the way, Deshaun Jackson's a local guy. He went to Long Beach Poly. He's from L.A. I've met him before. Seems like a good dude. Maybe he did just make an honest mistake here.
You know what I remember about Deshaun Jackson? This is a total aside.
USC recruiting story?
Yeah, the recruiting story. So he was highly, highly recruited, was a phenomenal high school talent, and was ready to commit to USC and Pete Carroll. And Deshaun said, yeah, I mean, I just want to be number one. I want to wear number one. And Pete said, no, we don't do that here.
Well, no, Mike Williams already had it.
Right, right.
And he wasn't going to take it away from Williams.
Correct. Because of that, he went to Cal. Apparently because the number one was available.
Right. Kind of weird. But he had a good career at Cal.
Very good career at Cal. Very good career. And has had a solid NFL career. Had a couple of years where he had a lot of impact. You know, I came across something today, John, and you might have seen this too on the Get Up show. They had a list of the top running backs in the NFL according to other general managers and head coaches. Did you see this?
No.
Okay. So ESPN did this in consultation with general managers.
How long's the list? How many you got?
10.
All right. Let me see how many of them I can get.
Okay.
Three strikes and I'm out?
Yep, three all strikes right. and you're out.
All right, Christian McCaffrey has to be there.
Number two.
Derrick Henry has to be there.
Number five.
Saquon Barkley has to be there.
Number one.
Okay. This is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, it gets tough. You're missing one obvious one.
Who are these people that did this list?
NFL general managers and head coaches.
Who are these people?
No, no,
like, what is the legitimacy
people?
Of this?
No, no, but I'm trying to think of, because if it was media, it would be a different list.
Like, well, you've got a couple of obvious ones that are still on the board.
A couple of, Derrick Henry led the NFL in rushing last
He's
year.
He's number five. So, you're missing number three and four, which should be obvious. I have often said that I think this one guy is the most dangerous open field player in the league.
Is it Alvin Kamara?
Alvin Kamara, yes. And the other one just signed a gigantic contract.
Just signed a gigantic
contract. Well, in the last year. He got paid.
Ezekiel Elliott,
there you go. And the rest of them, I don't know that you would necessarily get. Dalvin Cook is number six.
Okay.
Nick Chubb is number seven. Joe Mixon, Cincinnati, number eight. Josh Jacobs from the Raiders, number nine.
Yeah, he's really good. He's great.
And Le'Veon Bell, number 10, which doesn't seem right to me, but Funch, you're a Le'Veon Bell defender.
Yes, he is. He's a really good guy. He can play.
He's a really good guy. Do you know him personally?
No, but, you know, he's a good player, like we were talking in our pre-show meeting.
Yeah. Here's one thing that came out this morning. So, get this. 10 of the top 11 rushers this past season were on their rookie deal. Only one guy on a second contract. The last four rushing champions, all 25 or under. The leading rushers for last year's Super Bowl teams, Damian Williams, the 25th highest paid player on the Chiefs, Raheem Mostert, the 26th highest paid player on the Niners.
Yeah, and they don't want to pay him now. He's asking for a trade.
And in the last 8 years, how many running backs do you think were drafted in the first round in the NFL?
Not very many. I'd say less than 10.
10 on the nose. Only 8 years, only 10 running backs drafted in the first round. 31 wide receivers for comparison. So, the running
Very
back
expendable.
Position, and that's where the Rams made their gigantic screw-up paying Todd Gurley. Now, I would make this a hard and fast rule. I don't think I would sign a running back to a second contract.
Not even McCaffrey. Not even Derrick Henry.
No.
I'd sign those two guys.
I would not sign them to second contracts. Derrick Henry, is he still on his first contract?
It's very close. He might be on his second deal, but I think McCaffrey is, isn't he?
McCaffrey's on his first deal.
Saquon still is.
McCaffrey just got that big extension.
Did McCaffrey get an extension?
But
isn't
he still on his rookie deal? Like, Mahomes is still on his rookie deal, but
he's
he got
on his
extension.
Rookie deal, but he got like a huge extension.
Yeah, Gurley. The Rams paid Gurley and Goff too early.
Derrick Henry is still on his rookie deal.
Still on his rookie deal.
They
he's 25.
They franchised him back in March.
Oh, they franchised that. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey, $64 million, averaging $16 million a year. Now, he's a really unique player because he affects every part of that offense. He's a tremendous receiver. He's only the third player in NFL history with at least 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season. The only other two guys who have done that, Roger Craig and Marshall Faulk. So, and he scored 19 touchdowns last year, 2,300 yards from scrimmage. That's why last place Mace is prepared to name Christian McCaffrey as my first pick in next year's, next year's NFL fantasy draft.
Well, there may not be one. If they don't play, we may not have one.
We're doing a mini baseball one.
I'm taking Cam Newton, first round. Cam Newton.
Good for you. Backup quarterback, New England.
There you go.
Jared Stidham, late-round sleeper.
Oh, geez, Jared Stidham. He may not even make the team.
I'm not the only one saying that.
Who joins you in that opinion?
Scott Zolak.
Please.
Oh, well, gee, that's a load of credibility right there.
No, when I watch, I see a lot
Scott
of people.
You know what Scott Zolak's claim to fame is? Backup quarterback in New England. He knows what a backup quarterback looks like. So that's
but
why
he covers the team.
Yeah.
Do you have that Funch? Do you have Scott Zolak?
Let me find it.
I think it's still there.
I spent many of hours when I worked for NFL Network cutting specific Scott Zolak clips for the host of the show that I worked on because they just love to rip that guy more than anything. And he always seems to kind of set himself up for it.
I got it.
Okay, here's Scott Zolak.
If the guy's right, and I think that's the big gamble here, right? If the guy's right, yeah, you bring him in. I think he's got a two-month tryout. I really do. I think he's got a two-month tryout here. Meaning the month of July, the month of August, because really when you study stuff about Cam Newton and you realize what Cam Newton is as a player, as a teammate and all, he's not a backup. I think Cam wants to be a starter. I think Cam feels that he's done enough in this league to get the opportunity to be the starter. Now, if Jared Stidham beats him out, which I'm still going to say Stidham's going to be the starter, I don't think Cam Newton will be on the football team.
There you have it.
Yeah,
Scott Zolak.
Scott Zolak's an idiot. Cam Newton's the starter, and he's going to have a big year for them.
Why did he wait so long if he was going to be the starter? Why did Belichick wait so long when there was clearly no market?
I answer every question like this the same. COVID.
Yeah, but that's not relevant.
No, what are you talking about? Why is it not relevant?
It is because they couldn't bring him in for a workout.
They couldn't work him out. They couldn't see him. They couldn't do anything with him.
Couldn't meet him in person.
Everything got delayed.
Every other free agent in the world had signed by the time we got to Cam Newton.
Yeah, I think Cam. Well, I mean, the good news about this particular argument that we're having is it's going to play itself out.
Jared Stidham.
Yeah, this is
happening.
Jared Stidham.
It's happening.
You wouldn't know Jared Stidham if he walked into your house.
Absolutely would. He has been the heir apparent for a while. And that's why Bill Belichick didn't jump out to sign Cam Newton when he was first available.
Right, but why sign him at all if you're so happy with Jared Stidham?
Because you need a backup. This is why, for example...
What about Brian Hoyer? You got Brian Hoyer.
This may be a year where you carry three quarterbacks because of COVID.
This may be a year you carry four quarterbacks.
Yeah. This is why I'm so frustrated with the Rams. Their backup quarterback is John Wolford, who's never taken a snap in the NFL. I don't know.
That seems weird to me.
It's malpractice to go into a season.
Hey, Lindsay, are we way over, by the way?
Oh, are we? I'm just talking here.
I think we're supposed to break 5 minutes
okay.
ago.
Okay, sorry about that. I'm just
talking
here.
It's all right. You're flowing. It's all right. It happens.
Yeah, I mean, I was in the flow. All right. We got Game of Games coming up in half an hour. By the way, today's Game of Games is my game, and the current standings in Game of Games.
Yeah, I need a Mason, win. Lindsay's getting ready to run away with this.
Mason 2, Lindsay 2, John Ireland 1, and Brian Kamenetsky, as a guest host, has credit for 1.
I see you, Funch. I see you out there.
Yeah, where are you, Funch?
Apparently sleeping.
What's with you? All right, Game of Games in 30 minutes. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason and Ireland. By the way, you can reach me by email You can either use venicemace@gmail.com or you can go to stevemason.com and send me a message. I got this message through stevemason.com. Longtime listener, love the show. Even won a bike when you and John were in San Diego. A bike giveaway, apparently.
A bike
we
is
had
probably
at some
a
point.
Used bike if we were in San Diego. They're pretty cheap in those days.
This is from Ira Berman. Ira suggests a nickname for the Cleveland Indians, new nickname, as the Cleveland Heart. He says the medical center in Cleveland is a world-renowned heart institution and may even be a sponsor of the team. That is where the very first open-heart transplant took place, the Cleveland Heart. Lindsay, what do you think
of
that?
I don't hate that.
I think that when you get into the whole having to establish the difference between singular and plural, it gets a little messy. That's what I think.
You don't like that? Like, for example, the LAFC is playing, it's not the, LAFC is playing the Houston Dynamo instead of the Dynamos.
And Lindsay, it works sometimes. Miami Heat.
It works sometimes, but I feel like it's really
Stanford
hard to train
Cardinal.
Fans. And you're probably dealing with a lot of fans that are going to be kind of annoyed that they changed it.
But I like the sentiment a lot.
And you'd have
a good idea.
You'd have a lot of cool signs. Your hat would be cool. Have a heart on it.
And you know,
we call them the scalpels. Now we've got something.
The scalpels. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Because the Cleveland Clinic, anytime you spend in Cleveland, my dad was in the Cleveland Clinic. That is a first-rate organization. I mean,
it's
unbelievable medical research. Yeah.
Michael says, call them the Cleveland LeBrons. What do you think?
Oh, that's great. I would totally be in for that.
Why not? All right. So we did this a couple of weeks ago. And I wanted to do it again. I found another origin of expression. So where does the expression straight-laced come from? Like, John, you're very straight-laced.
Yeah, I happen to know this because I am very straight-laced. You see, it's a military term because back in the World War I days, Mace, that when you had to load the ammunition into the machine guns,
right,
you had to put it straight into a lace or else the machine gun would not fire.
Yes.
Since if someone got it right every time, if they were very particular about loading the ammunition into the machine gun, they were very straight-laced. I happen to know that one.
Yeah, that's absolutely incorrect. Anybody else have an idea?
How could it be?
I think its origin comes from a term that people would refer to today as like a girdle or a corset that women would have to lace up.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow, Lindsay.
Lindsay, good job. Yeah, proper, dignified woman wears her corset tied in a very straight-laced way.
Like Kate Winslet
in
Titanic.
Yeah,
remember
exactly.
Her mom was putting that corset on her and was pulling it super tight?
Okay, so here's one more.
Okay.
The whole nine yards.
Okay, now believe it or not, I can't believe that's the one you went to.
Yeah.
This is actually what I said before.
That is absolutely correct.
It's when you load when you loaded ammunition into the guns, it was 9 yards of ammunition. So if you wanted to just go off on your enemy, you would load the whole 9 yards.
The whole 9 yards. Yep, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
I love the origins. I totally love the origin of expressions thing because we say stuff all the time and we don't necessarily know where it comes from. And I'm fascinated by where they actually got started.
You know, I actually listen to a lot of weird podcasts that are more like informative, educational.
Yeah, you do. You're big on documentaries.
Yeah.
You're big on informational podcasts.
Well, finish your thought, Lindsay, and then I'm going to do a shameless plug for a podcast. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say there's one called Stuff You Should Know, and they recently did one on the origins of certain groupings of things. Like, you know how you call the sheep together, a herd of sheep?
Yeah,
sheep
herd
or
of sheep.
A flock of seagulls. Those were all completely made up by a bunch of random guys that sat around and was just like, let's call them this, let's call them that. And it like started off as a joke, but then they all became part of the English language, like just this phraseology.
What was it? Like some society that decided to name what collections
I guess
of animals
like
would be?
The government, I think it was.
The government sat down and did it?
Yep.
Because, you know, like, there are weird ones. Like, do you think they came up with, you know, a crows come in, right?
Yep, that's one of the ones they addressed. They addressed all of the really strange ones. Most of them were for animals and people.
Yeah, a murder of crows. I always thought it was a creepy. I've got a murder of crows sometimes in my tree out in the back. I got one of these plastic owls.
Does his head move?
Because his head doesn't move, but he sits on the roof of the garage.
You know, if you go on Amazon, you can buy those, and their heads move, and they have lighted eyes, and it really freaks the crows out.
Really? Yeah. Now, this seems to do the trick.
All right, so here's a shameless plug for a podcast. I listened to this podcast called Origins.
Yes.
Okay, I've talked about it before on the show. It's done by a guy named Jim Miller, who is an author. Jim Miller wrote the book, Those Guys Have All the Fun, about the oral history of ESPN.
Yes.
He wrote the book Live from New York, which is the oral history of Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
He wrote the oral history of CAA, the agency.
Oh, wow.
He's written a lot of good books. So he created 5 or 6 years ago this podcast. And what he does is he goes into the you mentioned origins of things. He goes into how something started, like how it started as an idea, how it was developed, and how it was executed. And for whatever reason, he picks things that I have tons of interest in. So, for example, he did an origins podcast about Saturday Night Live, and he interviewed Lorne Michaels, and he interviewed Dan Aykroyd and Will Ferrell and Kate McKinnon. And you basically learn about the history of SNL, how it started, how it got to where it is today. He then did it about ESPN. He then did it about Curb Your Enthusiasm. He went to Larry David.
Wow.
So his latest one came out today. He did it about the movie Almost Famous, which is 20 years old today, which is basically the autobiographical story of Cameron Crowe.
It's all happening.
Cameron Crowe, that's where we got It's All Happening.
Yep. Yeah,
Cameron Crowe was a young writer in San Diego, high school age, but he was a good writer, and he faked his age to get a job at Rolling Stone writing about bands. And they all thought he was this 25-year-old guy. He was 16. And this is about a mythical band called Stillwater. And he went back and he talked to everybody. He talked to Cameron Crowe. He talked to Kate Hudson. He talked to Billy Crudup. He talked to Jason Lee. And it all dropped today. 5 episodes about the origins of Almost Famous. So if you're looking for something to listen to, check that out. Origins with Jim Miller. A matter of fact, I told Lindsay, you should make a run at him and see if he can come on. Because he does so many things that we talk about. He does Curb. He does ESPN.
It's true.
He did a whole thing about Nick Saban in Alabama and how he built the program at the origins of Nick Saban and how he built what he built at Alabama. So he does a lot of stuff that we do.
You know, the first time I saw Almost Famous, which is one of my favorite movies, I was so devastated to find out that Stillwater wasn't a real band because I wanted to do like a deep dive where I like look into what really happened and if this was true or not. And then I
history
found out
of Stillwater.
Yeah, I was so bummed.
Yeah.
That is an almost perfect movie.
Yeah, it is great.
There's no wasted scenes in that movie.
No, it's a great film. By the way, in the shameless plug of podcasts, I just put one up. Podcast is with Howard Koch, who's the former president of the Motion Picture Academy. Was the assistant director on my all-time favorite movie, Chinatown. Did Heaven Can Wait, Wayne's World, Primal Fear. Great guy.
Primal Fear, highly underrated movie.
Oh, so good. You can get it at stevemason.com, or I sent out a little audio link to it. You can click on there. And it's fascinating. I love talking about the movies with a guy who's been there for years and years. All right, we got Game of Games coming up for you in 15 minutes. Up next, we will circle back to the big story of the day, which is the Lakers have arrived
in the bubble
in Orlando. We'll get into that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, let me tell you about ZipRecruiter. If you are hiring right now, you can try this website for free to help you fill your job, ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter.com/LA. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter uses its matching technology to find the right people and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within one day. So to try ZipRecruiter for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/LA. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LA. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
No, I was not being facetious. I love Max Kellerman. I'm excited for his new show.
That's right.
That's right. So the bubble is officially coming together in Orlando, Florida. The Lakers flew out today. They are now in the bubble. Or they're now bubble ADJ. I think you've got to pass another test or another couple of tests before you actually get into the official bubble. Rajon Rondo tweeted out a little earlier a picture of his room, or shared a picture of his room. Maybe it was on Instagram. And he called it the Motel 6. feeling that it wasn't up to... Now, maybe he was being... Maybe he was joking. Maybe he was being facetious. It looked like a perfectly fine, sturdy hotel room, one that you would expect at a normal hotel. It didn't... I mean, it's not a suite. Don't NBA players normally get suites during the regular season, John?
Some do, if it's in their contract. Like that one year... we had Kobe, Shaq, Karl Malone, and Gary Payton. They all had suites in their deals. So that's the, you know, that was part of the plan. But I don't, most of the players now, I don't think are of, I mean, I'm sure LeBron probably does, but I don't even know that for a fact.
There's only so many suites in a hotel, though, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Sorry, Rondo. You're
sorry,
a sweet guy.
Yeah. So they're down there, and meanwhile, the bubble for the MLS is taking place in Orlando as well, right at the same facility, the Wide World of Sports at Disney. And they have had two teams drop out of their Welcome Back tournament altogether. Dallas dropped out, and now Nashville has dropped out.
Do you think how many teams are in it?
I think it's the whole league.
I wonder how many teams... would make the tournament, like, just cancel the tournament. Like, obviously, if 10 teams dropped out, you would probably cancel the tournament. Two is not enough.
24 teams.
So I would think they could probably lose up to 8.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, there's 24 after the two withdrew. Because
there's
26.
Is that right? There's 24 after the two withdrew?
There's 26 Major League Soccer teams.
They probably actually did him a favor.
Right, right. But, I mean, at this moment, LAFC is still going to play the Houston Dynamo on Monday night, and we will have that game for you right here on 710 ESPN with our friend Dave Denholm.
Dave Denholm.
On the call. So I'm excited about that. And believe it or not, it is 2 weeks to the day from the opening of the Major League Baseball season, Dodgers versus Giants on opening night. Clayton Kershaw will be the starter for the Dodgers. I would imagine they've not named a starter, but it'll either be Johnny Cueto or Jeff Samardzija for the Giants. It's actually great that the Dodgers open against the Giants, because that's the worst team they will see this year.
Well, I've told you, we can take this a step further, talking about the Dodgers' schedule. The Dodgers only have 9 opponents. It's only a 60-game schedule.
Correct.
6 of the 9 are teams that had losing records last year. The only teams with winning records that the Dodgers are going to play this season are the Astros, the A's, and the Diamondbacks. Everybody else is an inferior team, which is why, Mace, I think the Dodgers are going to run away and hide. You think it's coming down to the last weekend of the season.
I think it's likely to come down to the last weekend of the season. In the last 7 years, these 7 division titles, the Dodgers have been in first place in the National League West only twice after 60 games.
Right, but they played a harder schedule. This is an easier schedule.
Yeah, but everybody they're playing is playing the same schedule.
Right, but...
The bad teams are playing the bad teams. The Padres are also facing a bad schedule. The Diamondbacks are also facing a bad schedule.
Right, but
they're all facing the same schedule.
But they don't have to play any of the good teams. They don't have to play the Cardinals. They don't have to play the Braves. They don't have to play the Rays.
Right, but neither does anybody else that the Dodgers are going to be playing.
Right, but I just think that those other teams stink. So I don't know. Now, are the Dodgers and the Astros in the same division?
No. They maintain the integrity of the division. So the Astros are in the National League West.
Yeah,
the
Dodgers are going to run away and hide.
Yeah, I think it's coming down to the last weekend. By the way, I thought Jared Hairston Jr. was pretty frank when we had him on. Was that yesterday we had him on?
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that we've seen before. We've not seen this 60-game sprint concept play out before. And I think it's good that the Dodgers open against the worst team they're going to see all year, because maybe you win 3 out of 4, all of a sudden you're 3-1, or you come out of that thing 4-0, and you're off to a good start. The next team you get, by the way, is Houston. Right? It goes San Francisco, then you go to Houston in that schedule. So they've got two tough games. It's important that they do well in that series against the Giants.
You know,
it is without question the most critical opening series in Dodgers history.
Okay. Well, you're going to be able to say that about every series. But, you know, one thing we haven't talked about, an injury could be way more devastating than a normal baseball injury. In other words, if Kershaw goes down for a month,
yep,
that's half the season.
Half the season. Yeah, I mean, you break a wrist like A.J. Pollock did last year before, you strain an oblique, which is a tricky injury for a pitcher. You could miss the season.
Eddie Carrillo tweet: Cleveland's baseball's new team should be the Cleveland, at least we're not Detroit's, or the Cleveland crippling depressions.
Nice.
Both excellent ideas.
Lindsay, you've heard the Cleveland song, right?
Yeah, I think that LeBron's championship in 2016 cured most of the depressions in Cleveland, as far as sports go.
And in that song, they say our economy's based on LeBron.
LeBron James, which means he's gone now. So what's the economy based on now?
Francisco Lindor.
Which he'll be gone in less than a year. So
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Honestly, I think most people from Cleveland, or a lot of them at least, will agree with me in saying, nobody even really cares right now. We're still excited. We celebrated the 4-year anniversary of the 2016 championship.
Wait, is that what it comes down to? You're celebrating the 4-year anniversary
of winning the
championship?
Hang on to
the only one we have. It was amazing. It was the best day of my life.
Yep. Hang on to that sucker. I don't blame you.
Was that literally the best day of your life?
100%.
Wow.
My dad's too. I'd say my brother's too. My dad has openly admitted it and actually got into an argument with a family friend who said, I'd rather go watch my 8-year-old son win his T-ball tournament
Your dad acknowledges that the day the Cavs won the title
was the best day of his life.
A better day than when you were born.
100%. And I said, Dad, I can't even be mad at you for that. I get it.
And you have brothers and sisters, right?
Yep.
So it's an equal opportunity insult.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, you know, I think of those two critical moments, being at Game 7 of the World Series and being at the Super Bowl with the Rams, and thinking either one, I would have been just through the roof excited.
Had one of them,
either the Rams, who were in that game all the way down the line, or the Dodgers, had they not started Yu Darvish, would have been one of the great moments.
Subtle shot at you, Darvish.
Yeah, I know.
He's
not very popular here.
I bought my son a Yu Darvish Dodgers T-shirt, and the other day I was cleaning up some stuff in the garage, and it's now officially a rag.
Yeah,
it's now my way. I use it as a cleanup rag.
Yeah, I don't bother you. I don't disagree. All right, coming up next for you is Game of Games. I've got the game today, and it's a good one. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Game of Games. Right now, Lindsay and I each have won 2 games in the month of July. Ireland with 1 and Brian Kamenetsky with 1. Funch has yet to hit the board.
This is Funch's day.
I like the confidence.
All right. This game is called Something, Anything, Everything. These are relatively easy questions. Your name is your buzzer, and they can be about absolutely anything.
Okay.
Here is number 1. The Black Album Magna Carta Holy Grail, and 444 are albums recorded.
Funch.
Jay-Z. Jay-Z, albums recorded by Jay-Z. That is correct.
Funch, I almost buzzed in and guessed the Beatles.
Funch is on the board.
Beatles All had right. a white album.
That's what
number,
I was thinking.
Number two. What are the two ingredients in a Kentucky mule?
John.
John.
Bourbon and ginger.
Ginger beer. I will accept ginger, yes. Bourbon and ginger beer is a Kentucky mule. All right. Number three. Finish this nursery rhyme. Hickory dickory dock.
Lindsay.
John.
Lindsay.
The mouse went up the clock.
Correct. Yes. It's 1-1-1.
I had that.
Number four. What fast food restaurant uses the slogan Live Moss?
Funch. John.
Funch got there.
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell's correct. Funch is up 2-1-1. Number five. Who do you reach when you call 844-24-JACOB?
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Jacob and Ronnie.
Jacob and Ronnie's correct. Ireland 2, Funch 2, Lindsay 1. Number 6. There are two left. Number 6. Jerry Rice has more receiving yards than any player in NFL history. Who is second?
John.
Lindsay.
John.
Randy Moss.
No.
Lindsay.
Lindsay.
LT. Ladainian Tomlinson?
No. Receiving yards. Funch, you want to take a shot?
Never mind.
Chris Carter.
No. Correct answer, Larry Fitzgerald.
The ageless
Larry Fitzgerald.
That's crazy.
And number seven, Ireland and Funch are tied. Lindsay's got one.
So do you have a tiebreaker in case Lindsay gets this?
I will have a tiebreaker in case Lindsay gets it.
All right.
Which musical artist is famous for biting the head?
John.
Funch.
John.
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne's correct, and John wins it.
Darn
John
it.
Is now yes. on the board with
I
two.
That. I needed that.
I'm like throwing stuff in a studio because I just lost.
Punch, I was even like holding off on buzzing in because I was trying to
No, I knew the question.
Shake,
I knew
you know?
The question.
I'm just kidding.
You knew the answer?
I knew the answer.
Oh, Funch. Got to be faster, man. Got to be faster. This just in, PJ Tucker of the Houston Rockets brought over 60 pairs of shoes to Orlando.
So story about PJ Tucker.
Sneaker King.
He owns over 1,000 pairs of shoes.
Wow.
And if he's having a bad first half, he'll change his shoes at halftime.
Wow.
Yeah, he is the Sneaker King. He has.
Funch, how many pairs of shoes do you own?
I'd say anywhere from 80 to 95, maybe.
Wow.
Wow, really? That many?
Lindsay, you're also a sneakerhead, right?
Yeah, I've got 67 pairs of what I would deem collectible shoes.
And do you wear them, or are they just you're collecting them?
I probably have a dozen pairs that I've never worn. They're my dead stock pairs. That's what they call them.
They're called your dead stock pairs?
Dead stock, yeah. Like, they're just sitting in your closet. You don't wear them.
Is there a pair of shoes that each of you would, like, desperately want?
Yeah.
What is the pair, Funch? But if I give you a golden ticket and I say you can exchange this for any pair of shoes in the world, what are you using?
Nike Air Mag, which is the shoe that Marty McFly had in Back to the Future 2.
That's a good one. Kyrie 3 EYBL Special Limited Editions because they don't make them in my size.
So, but it sounds like you don't wear them a lot anyway.
I don't really wear sneakers all that much.
So what difference does it make if they make them in your size? You collect them for the
if they're your size?
Well, I mean, I want to have the option to wear them. I don't own a pair of shoes that are not my size. I have bought a few pairs before so I could flip them because a lot of these, like some of these rare limited edition pairs, you know, they have auctions for them on the sneakers app.
Right.
And so if you win the auction, then you turn around and flip them. I've done that a couple times when I've gotten lucky and won them. But
so they're investments.
Yeah, a lot of times.
They're like my baseball cards.
Yeah, I think I would probably make a profit off of most of my shoes.
Yeah.
When my son Jack was in elementary school, I used to, every year his school would have a fundraiser. So Kobe's daughter, his oldest daughter, was the same age as Jack. So Kobe had always asked me, how's your son doing, blah, blah, blah. And I mentioned to him one year, I've got a fundraiser coming up for him that I got to emcee. And he'd go, well, I'll give you, he offered to give me a pair of his shoes and he would sign them and I'd put them in the auction. And so I did. He did this for me for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And now I regret that I never held on to a pair of them. I always put them in the auction.
Right.
But of course, I never thought that we were going to lose Kobe. So, you know, but whoever bought those shoes back in those auctions has something that you obviously can't get anymore.
I have an interesting story about a great pair of shoes. My dad, he used to be the technical director for the Cleveland Browns radio network. And one time they were having a transmitter issue and he had to go up on the roof and they were about to have a thunderstorm. And he ended up getting struck by lightning. And when he woke up in the hospital, the bottom of his Nikes were melted. And the doctor told him that the shoes saved his life.
Really?
Yeah, the rubber from the soles of the shoes saved his life. He said he wrote Nike a letter and took a picture of the shoes because he thought it would be a cool commercial, but they never wrote him back.
You know, I used to, it reminds me of a story, I used to always say when seatbelt laws first happened, I resisted for a while. You know, you're invading my civil liberties. What I do in my car is my own business, blah, blah, blah. And I worked with, and I use this, this is a true story. So I worked with this girl in Toledo. Her name was Pam Gilbert. And Pam, one time, was driving and swerved off the road and hit a tree and was thrown through the windshield, and then the car blew up.
She survived?
She survived because she wasn't wearing seatbelts.
Oh, wow.
There is, yeah, that does happen from time to time.
But I wear my seatbelt all the time. Everybody should wear their seatbelt. Wear a seatbelt, wear a mask. Those are the two rules, especially wear a mask right now. Stop getting into fights over masks at the pharmacy. I mean, there are stories now all over the place. Drive-through windows, somebody's now wearing a mask. There's a fight. People start yelling at each other. Just wear the mask. It's so easy.
I think we should do a Karen of the Week after you went on your Karen rant last week about the lady in the mask at Whole Foods, I think it was. Because yeah. I see funnier and funnier ones. I don't even know if they're funny. They're just ridiculous that people have such a lack of human decency to behave that way and have a temper tantrum. I sent you one today that was pretty good.
I have a Karen that has nothing to do with a mask. Funch, do you have that Karen that I put in there?
Which one was that?
I put a Karen in this week. Get off my property.
Gotta love the get off the property commands. Those are always fun.
Maybe we don't have it.
Oh, we got it. Yeah. We got it.
We got it. Okay, here is the Karen of the week.
Oh, my God.
Who's on her property?
No!
Yes, take that ladder off my property!
It's not on your property!
Come on! I'm telling them, take that ladder off my property!
Oh, my God.
Explain what's happening.
Okay, so there's a woman who comes out of her house, and there's a guy working next door on his house, and there's a ladder between the two houses. And it doesn't look like the ladder is on her property, but she comes out just rip-roaring, take that ladder off my property, take that ladder off my effing property, and that is an example of a Karen, John.
Now nobody's going to name their kid Karen anymore.
Do you know any Karens?
I don't think so.
No, I mean, I don't mean people with that actual name. I mean people who act like Karens.
No, I haven't, like, not personally. Do you?
Oh, sure.
You know girls that get hysterical over nothing?
I know girls who have a great sense of entitlement and expect things to be their way and get really pissed off when it doesn't go their way. You don't know people like that?
I don't
think
so.
Many or even most women have a little tiny bit of Karen in them somewhere.
Yeah, there's a little Karen in every woman. I mean, frankly, there's a little Karen in every guy, too.
Yeah.
Speaking
totally.
Of which, joining us next, Alan Sliwa.
Yes. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Alan Sliwa is here.
What's up, Mace? By the way, let me just say, Lindsay, you are a badass if your favorite memory is that championship with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
The whole city agrees with me.
Oh, I can see how, you know, a top sports moment is up there. I mean, for me, I think 2010, being at the Lakers-Celtics game, that's definitely one of my top moments.
Oh, it's definitely a high moment.
What John, with all your Laker experiences, what is do you have one of those? But I love that, Lindsay. That's literally your favorite moment.
Well, I wouldn't say any, like, if you ask me what the best day of my life is, I don't think I would tie it to a Laker game.
Okay, what is the best day of your life? That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
The literal best day of your life.
When if you have kids, like, none of you guys have kids.
Correct.
When your kids are born, that's a pretty big deal because you're scared that something could go horribly wrong.
Yeah, sure.
And when it doesn't, then that would is it Rocky that says, "Oh, my kid being born, this is the greatest day of my life." You know, so for me, it would. If you have kids, it's a different answer than if you don't have kids. For a sports day,
not according to
not a sports day, just a best day of your
best
life.
Best day of your life.
Maybe it has something to do with sports. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, with me, it'd probably be Jack's birthday, the first day he was born.
Hmm.
But I'd have to think about it. What, Mason, what is it for you?
Well, there was that Bob Miller award that I won.
Which one?
You know what ranks super, super high for me in retrospect? The roast.
That's fun. Yeah,
I thought that was one of the most fun nights of my life, getting totally gagged on by everybody. I had a blast that night.
That was the weirdest, one of the weirdest 24 hours for me because I told myself I could not miss that. And then, of course, because nobody paid any attention to the schedule, it happened to fall on a night where the Lakers were playing in China.
Oh,
so
right.
I emceed your roast. It ended. I drove home. I changed and I went into the station to do the Laker China game. And I was basically up all night. But that was, I'm glad I did it. That was very fun. Sliwa, what is the greatest day of your life?
Well, I was just going to say, Mace, you know what was so interesting about that night too? And we had never done anything like that before. Wait, did you guys already do a roast before that? Or
we
no?
had done a roast for John at the Orange County Sports. I forget what it was.
Yeah, at the Newport Beach Marriott.
At the Newport, exactly. So, we did one for John. We'd never done one for.
By the way, Mace, those two roasts, I will never agree to do another roast of me again. That was the because it went well. It was well attended. It was well received. It could have gone completely. Would you ever agree to be roasted again?
No, not unless it was for a really, really good cause. I mean, I think it's kind of once in a lifetime stuff.
Yeah.
But Mace, what I was going to say, you know, I was obviously at that time, Commerce was my account. So
were you working for us then?
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. But at that time, you know, I was heavily involved in that specific event. But one thing that I'll say that I kind of walk away from that event, we've done a lot of events over the years. You know, the station obviously has done so many. That was probably one of the best vibes we've had at an event in a really long time. What I'm referring to there is every person that came out really, really wanted to be there. There was this like very genuine, heartfelt love for the show, right? Like for both of you guys and everybody that was there. And then everybody that was part of the roast, I mean, they all delivered. Like, it was really one of the cooler events that the station's ever done. It was
Dave Singer.
Unique.
Who knew that Dave Singer had that club in his bag?
This effing guy.
Yeah.
By the way, who said, somebody said, I think Will Kane came up or something like that. And everybody
talked about how Scott McCarthy decided to put Will Kane
on
the show.
It was even better than that. You introduced Scott McCarthy.
That's right.
And you totally set him up. You said, I want to recognize somebody. He goes, this guy over here, right there. He goes, Scott, can you wave? And Scott waves. And he goes, Scott McCarthy, he's our general manager. And right when he waved and everybody looked at him, you go, and he's the guy who brought you Will Kane. And
There's he Scott's got the like, what the hell do I do?
Booed
with that?
Out of him. Oh, it was the. It was so.
Oh, that Will Cain thing. Now we can say it. I'm glad that's over.
Yeah, that had to happen.
That was just a minute of. That's what it's going to be like when the Astros come to Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The boos were crazy that night.
John, I would say it's kind of, you know, I guess you just take it more from like a professional level because I'm not married, because I don't have kids. And trust me, I think anybody you ask that question to, most likely if they're married or they have kids, that's probably what they're referencing to. I guess when I got the job, you know, 10 years ago to come up to 710 and the Lakers broadcast was coming, I mean, that's honestly, that's like one of the highlight moments, just because I was going to, you know, obviously have some kind of affiliation with the broadcast.
Yeah, it's funny. When I got a job, like when you work in small market TV, there's a part of you that wonders if and when you're ever going to get out. So I spent a year in Monroe, Louisiana, and I had been 4 years in Beaumont, Texas. I was 26. I'm like, am I ever going to get out of here? And when I got a job in San Diego, I thought, oh, that at that point, that was the best day of my life. Like, I had gotten out of these small towns that I was going to work in and then got into San Diego. But it's got to be different for everybody. The fact that LeBron could deliver that much joy to a city is pretty amazing. That Lindsay and her whole family will tell you that's the day we'll remember forever is a pretty big deal. That's awesome.
Celebrated the 4-year anniversary of it.
Oh yeah. Wore my hat, my shirt. I even remember they were in Sports Talk in Cleveland all day. It was like LeBron anniversary day. Coming back from all the breaks, they're playing all like the highlights and all the rejoins that we had made. Celebrating that day, it was amazing.
You know, Lindsay, the reason I know this makes sense is my buddy Jeff Phelps, who's a sportscaster there, I watched in the 80s, I watched the John Elway, The Drive with him. And that's when it looked like the Browns were going to the Super Bowl and Ernest Biner fumbled. And he just sat there for what seemed like hours and looked at me and went, "You don't understand.
I'm surprised that Jeff would even get that emotional and want to just say something like, well, time to go to bed or something like that."
Yeah, yeah, he is pretty even keeled. But for him, it was like, "You don't understand. You don't understand. Nobody wants to live in Cleveland. I was born there. I have to live there. We never win anything, and this was our moment. You don't understand."
All of those bad things made the one good thing that much better.
Well, they beat a 73-win team, too. They beat, like arguably the greatest regular season team ever.
Coming back
from way down in the series.
No one ever did that before. Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday.
And even fans that have no affiliation with Cleveland, you know, obviously they're not cheering for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was rooting for the Cavs that game. They were such an underdog. Like, it almost felt like, and you were seeing LeBron, just his emotions right after the game. Like, how do you not feel for that? Unless, you know, you're obviously a Golden State Warrior fan. Anytime that game comes up, if that's one of those NBA TV, you know, they've been doing a lot these last couple of months. I mean, the final few minutes of that game is, you know, so tense just to watch. They didn't score. John, didn't they score for the last two minutes
of the game, I don't think.
Right. Neither team scored for about a 2.5-minute stretch until Kyrie hit that big three with about a minute to go. And in that stretch was LeBron's Iguodala block, which is one of the great blocks in NBA Finals history.
When he gets a statue in Cleveland, that's probably what it will be, is the block. Mm.
Mace, did you have a greatest sports moment? Like, do you have
greatest
one that
sports
pops
moment?
Yeah, so just from a sports.
I would say, you know, what comes to the top always is that Kobe 60-point retirement game.
That game seems surreal looking back on it.
It does.
It didn't really happen.
While it was going on, we were all looking at each other saying, "God, he's got 40. Man, he's got 50.
I know.
He's got 60 points."
I never go back and listen to any games that Michael and I do, just because it, you know, we've done them, and it's weird to me. Except we pull that quarter out every year where there's a significant anniversary of that Kobe game, and it's super fun to listen to because you just can't believe he keeps making those shots. He's just dead tired, and he just keeps making those shots.
John, didn't we play that right when the pandemic started? Didn't we play that full game?
I think we just played the fourth quarter. Maybe we did play the full game. I don't know, but I know we played the fourth quarter.
But that's the one thing. As much as we get all these replays on TV, man, there's something about the radio version of it. You know, and even if it's old calls from Chick, whatever the case is, but like that game specific, and you said you don't go back and listen to it. I know from a fan perspective, man, hearing that on the radio, and especially if you were at the game or you were watching on TV, and let's say you didn't hear the audio to it, just to hear you and MT, that's a special moment. So, Mace, that's your top one.
We have a listener named Kevin Smets, who's a great guy.
Oh, he's a good guy.
And he used to do these cartoons. He's an animator. And he used to do these Mason and Ireland cartoons. And they were all really funny and creative. And because he's an editor and he has that talent, he went back and got the ESPN video of that game and synced it up to Michael and I's radio call, and it's on YouTube. So if you go on YouTube, you type in Kobe's last game, John Ireland, Michael Thompson, you can hear it. And it's just when you watch it happen, you're like, did this really happen? I mean, people will be watching that 50 years from now going, no way. You know, just no way.
Yeah, the other one for me is the night of the at the Coliseum with the Rams and the Chiefs. I mean, it wasn't the stakes were not high, but frankly, the stakes weren't high in the Kobe game either. It was just a miraculous game to watch, and every time you thought the Rams were dead or the Chiefs were dead, either Mahomes or Jared Goff would come up with a monster play. That was a crazy, crazy night. And to be there was incredibly cool because we were just out of breath the entire game. It was so good.
Do you guys know your most devastating loss in sports?
Oh, mine.
Like, do you have it?
Mine's easy. Yeah.
What is it, John?
Game 7, 84 NBA Finals. The Lakers were so much better than the Celtics that year. The Lakers won 3 games of those finals by an average of 17 points a game. The Celtics won 4 games by an average of 6. And in Game 7, you know, Red Auerbach pulled all that crap where they turned off the air conditioning in the Laker locker room and they were pulling fire alarms at the hotel. And sure enough, in Game 7, Magic and Kareem lost to Larry Bird and Kevin McHale. And I thought, and then a year later, they got him back. The Lakers got him back. But in 84, I'm like, the amazing thing about that was, so we lose Game 7 in 84. And all Laker fans are just devastated because we knew we had a better team that year. Mm-hmm. And then so they meet again in the finals in 85. And in Game 1 is the Memorial Day Massacre. Celtics 148, Lakers 114. And we all went, oh, my God, here we go again. They're going to do it to us again. And then the Lakers came back and won that series in 6. And it all ended. Mace, I have an update for you.
Oh, good.
Okay. Your poll, who lasts longest in a zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, this is now I'm confounded by this.
830 votes, so a pretty decent sample size. Lindsay is the choice of the listeners.
No clue.
33% she would last the longest.
How would Lindsay survive a zombie apocalypse?
Followed by
women in general tend to be more resourceful.
Yeah. Followed by John Ireland, 25%.
You'd have no chance.
Followed by Michael Funchess, 23%.
Yeah. Funch, I wouldn't sleep. I wouldn't sleep on Funch.
And dead last, Steve Mason, 19%.
People just love doing this to me. They love winding me up.
They are.
I mean, clearly, I'm the guy that comes from the country. I mean,
Steve, I voted. I voted, Steve.
Who'd you vote for?
Lindsay.
What skills do you have to survive a zombie apocalypse?
I think I'm more resourceful.
Do you own a baseball bat? Do you own a baseball bat? Do you own an axe?
Yeah. Do. Some of my camping stuff.
Do you own a shovel?
Yeah. Do I own a couple of
shovels? I own a shotgun.
I give women the advantage in
everything. I don't own any firearms.
I do.
Yeah, I see. What I would do is what I always do. I would simply slip these zombies 100 and tell them to go beat
Mason.
That's
not how it works. You can't fire off a zombie.
John's writing a check.
No, not even a check. Slipping them a hundy, a Benji.
The richer you are, the less likely you are to survive a zombie apocalypse.
That guy over there, that Ohio guy with the gray hair. Go eat him up.
All right, we've got more crosstalk coming up next.
Are we going to play your game finally?
Okay, I have a game, and if we do it right coming out, then I think we'll have enough time. It's going to be a lot of figuring out on this one, but yeah, let's do it when we come
back. A lot of figuring out on the game.
A lot of figuring out, yes.
All right. That's coming up next for you. A lot of figuring out. Mason in Ireland. Slee was here at 710 ESPN. Something, Alan.
All right. Crosstalk on 710 ESPN is powered by Power Pro Plumbing, Heating, and Air. You can go on right now on powerproplumbing.com. Take advantage of their $99 drain cleaning. It's a great cross-trade service for our 710 listeners.
Now, we have challenged Sliwa to come up with a game. To be honest, when Sliwa has come up with games in the past, they often are, well, they're not very inventive. Alan, do you feel like this game lives up to the standard that we have set on the Mason and Ireland show?
So I have no idea, but I definitely am trying to come up with a game where we're going to walk away and you're going to say, okay, keep that theme. We'll do something like that, whatever,
okay,
once a week,
good.
Whatever the case is.
What do you got?
Okay. See how it goes here. Are you all familiar and enjoy the game Family Feud or no?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Love
yeah.
Family Feud. Great game.
Okay. Do you want the music with it or no Family Feud?
Sure.
Music?
No, bring it on.
Oh, sure.
You,
yeah.
If you've got it.
Dress this sucker up.
Let's
okay,
go.
Okay. Funch. Okay.
Make it sing, right. Man. Make it sing.
Mason, Ireland, you guys have to pick a teammate. So go with Lindsay, go with Funches. Figure out how you guys want to do that.
All right,
pick a teammate.
I'll take Lindsay and Mason can have Funch.
Okay. All right, so this is how it'll work. So there's going to be three rounds. If you take the first two rounds, it's game anyways. So three rounds is the most that you can
do. Got
it. So
yeah, we know how it works.
Just like we do in Family Feud, guess the
best
answer.
Yeah, no, we've actually seen the show. It's been on for a few years.
All right, so
how we... Based on a 100-person survey panel. Okay.
All right, so how we start?
Where was your 100-person survey?
This is the internet.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, got it.
Okay, so the first round, it's Mason versus Ireland. Your name is your brother.
Okay.
Okay. Now, a couple things I'll say. Instead of getting three strikes, if you do win, you know, if the question, we're only going to get two strikes just
got
because
it.
Of
to keep it moving. Good idea.
Okay. Okay. All right. So here we go. Name is your buzzer. If you win it, the question comes to you.
Yeah.
Top five answers are on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name a chore that people hate.
John.
Mason.
John, go ahead.
Taking out the trash.
Number one answer, taking out
Damn.
The trash. So it goes to
All right,
John
Lindsay, Ireland. Lindsay, do we want to play or do we want to make them play?
Let's give this to them.
Okay, we give it to the other team.
Okay, so by the way, so that one is 30 points and it's just in the air and we'll figure it out,
okay.
Whoever wins this round. Okay.
Okay, got it.
So you guys get two strikes. Funches, it's your turn. Name a chore that people hate.
Now, we're allowed to confer.
Okay. Isn't that only at the end?
No. You're allowed to talk to the people on your
team. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. What do you think, Funch?
Four more answers.
They hate working.
I was thinking paying bills.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, let's go paying bills.
Hit the buzzer. That's a strike right there. That's one right there. Okay. Paying bills is not on that list.
It is a pain in the ass.
So Mason continues with the two of you.
You pay somebody to pay your bills for you.
John was trying to pay off zombies, all right? Name a chore that people hate. Give me another one.
What about mowing the grass?
Yeah, yard work.
Yeah, mowing the grass, yard work.
0 for 2, fellas.
What? They're out?
Are you kidding me?
They're
okay.
out.
People hate yard work.
All right, Lindsay, we only need to come up with one, and we have four possibilities.
But this isn't – they don't get – now, you guys don't get two strikes, right? You just get this
no,
one answer.
No, we got to get
one.
Lindsay, yeah. I think I've got one.
Cleaning, right?
Well, I was going to say specifically washing dishes.
Yeah, that's probably better.
All right, we'll go Sliwa, we'll go – Lindsay and I will go with washing dishes.
Okay. I'm going to list them down for you. Folding the laundry is number two.
Okay.
Emptying the dishwasher is number
Ooh.
Three.
I think that should count.
No, it doesn't count. It's not doing the dishes.
Doing
the
dishes? Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
It could be already done. That could be the closest.
I think that's doing the dishes.
Okay,
let's have a vote. John and Lindsay both say yes. Me and Funch both say no.
Sliwa, you're the tiebreaker. Doing the dishes.
Guys, I got to give it to him. That's as close as you can get. Emptying the dishwasher.
Sliwa.
All right.
Russian judge.
Aren't you done cooking contests? How many contests are you going to cook?
Russian judge.
So we get 100 points there, right?
You get 50.
Okay.
You get 50.
Okay.
So now if Lindsay and I.
Was 30 and emptying the dishwasher was 20.
So now it's Lindsay versus Funch, right?
Lindsay versus Funch. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, here we go. What are the top reasons for being late to work?
Lindsay. Which?
Lindsay.
Flat tire.
Car trouble is number three. Car okay. trouble is right, number
two
three.
Or better.
Funch. It's got to be traffic.
What? Well,
we're playing, so it's our turn.
Wait a minute!
No!
No, they didn't get the top answer.
Yeah, they can trump us, Lindsay. You guys, okay, what's your guess, right. Mace?
Wait! Why? Oh yeah, that's right. They can't trump. Go ahead,
okay,
Mace.
Funch, I think traffic.
Traffic.
Yeah, traffic.
Traffic. Number one answer. Would you guys like to play or no? Or pass it. Three
and
more
reasons
answers.
For being late. I think we should pass it.
Yeah, let's pass it.
Okay.
Let's
pass it. Lindsay, all right. Now, how many answers are there, Alan?
So far. Traffic,
no, how many total?
Five total.
Okay, yeah. Lindsay, I know one that's got to be there.
Overslept.
Yeah. Overslept, Sliwa.
Number two with 25.
Okay, so far we've
big
got
round.
We've got traffic. We've got overslept. And Lindsay, what was the one you guessed?
Car trouble. So those are the okay. top three. You got number four and number five left.
Okay, Lindsay, okay. I think you're sick.
That's what I was going to say. What if you're
ill or sick, Sliwa? Yeah.
Not on the list.
What?
That's one strike.
So there are two left, and that's one of them. Okay.
What about you forgot your cell phone?
No.
I don't know. I think that's probably one of them. But weather? The weather was bad?
What if
it was snowing or raining or...
I think, what if you were helping somebody else? Like somebody else had a problem?
No, I don't think that's on there. I think weather's probably a good general one.
Weather? I live in California.
Yeah, but the not...
All right, I'll let you go with it, but I think it's a loser. Weather. Okay.
Guys, this is why they're picking Lindsay in that poll.
Got it?
Weather is number four. Bad weather is number four.
All right. Wow.
So there's only one. And there's one left.
I think it's forgot my cell phone.
No, but I don't think that Family Feud is that modern.
Yeah, it is. It's still on today.
Yeah, but I don't think
Steve Harvey hosts it.
Oh, I think it's going to be helping other people.
You know how many times I've actually been late to many things, including work, for forgetting my phone?
I think one of your neighbors...
I don't think anyone will say, oh, you know what? I had to help my neighbor.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I'd go with Lindsay, but it's just me.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, if you just say you forgot something.
Oh, yeah,
she's
okay.
Gotten all of them right.
All right, we'll do that. Sliwa, forgot something.
Forgot something is not on the list.
So a chance to steal right now...
Okay,
and
so
four of the five are taking. This is
I was
the
thinking
fifth
like
one.
Child care stuff, like
babysitting,
kids off at school, babysitting.
Yeah,
dropping.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah, we're gonna say child care, dropping kids off at school.
Family obligations is number five.
Yes,
big
yes!
time oh, round no. for Mason and Funches.
All right,
big time round for Mason and Funches. Okay,
this so it is all it. Comes down to this. All right, here we go.
Last one.
It's
okay,
back to Mason and I. All right, yeah. let's go.
Calculator here. Okay, so
it doesn't matter. Whoever wins this wins it. Let's go.
Okay, here we go.
Calculator.
Name something that only happens once every few years.
Mason.
Steve.
A comet.
X on that one. That was not.
Okay.
A comet doesn't happen only once.
It's
every
true.
Few years.
You're actually right.
Lindsay, what do you think?
An eclipse?
I don't... That's kind of obscure, don't you think?
What would you suggest?
I'm trying to think, like, is it... Like, would it be a childbirth or something?
No. I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that comet wasn't on there. I think eclipse has got to be, like, everyone... Okay. Or what about leap year?
Oh, that's good. We'll go leap year. Sliwa?
Leap year is number three. It is on the list.
Okay.
So it's yours right now. Do you guys want to take it or you want to pass it?
I think we should pass it.
I do too. All right, we're giving it to them.
Okay, so how many are there?
There's five total. One is off the board.
All right, Mace. One of the things you work, the Olympics.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, I say let's go Olympics.
Number four on the list.
Yes.
Olympics. Going with that, so two are off the board. Number one, number two, and number five are left.
You know, I kind of think Lindsay was right with Eclipse.
You think? Yeah, I mean, it happens every couple of years. It
happens every couple of years. Yeah, let's say eclipse.
Guys, listen to Lindsay. Number one on the board with 27.
Wow. Oh,
number one.
Gosh.
All right, so one is gone, three is gone, and four is gone. So eclipse, leap year, and then you guys said Olympics, right?
Olympics,
yes.
Right.
How many are left?
Two left.
Oh.
It's coming down the wire here.
Happens only once every few
years. Do they have any strikes?
No strikes.
No strikes.
All right. Macy, one minute.
Once every few years. Once every few years. Funch, what's popping into your head?
Once every few years.
Birth of a child. No.
New job?
Gotta guess.
Yeah, let's go new job.
Wrong. Still two left. One strike. Right,
you
one
got
strike
a, you
left.
Got another guess, Mace. It's okay. 6:24. Make another guess.
One more guess. One more guess. Once every few years. How about you get a new car?
Well, that's not bad.
Sliwa? Chance to steal right here.
Okay,
Ireland
Lindsay,
and Lindsay.
I think I got it.
It's got
right.
An election.
Presidential election. Election.
Ah. Oh,
Sliwa, it's an election.
Right. Number two on the list.
Yes! Yes!
Darn it. Had number one, too, if John listened to me in the first place. But I'm not complaining.
Oh, that's great. All right. All right. So
great job.
Bring this back.
Way to go, Lindsay. Point. Yeah, that was great. That was a good game, Sliwa.
Yeah, that was a good game. Good job,
right,
Sliwa.
Sounds good.
Best
sounds
game
good.
Ever.
These are words that you won't hear that often on the
not
show.
Not often,
good
but I will take
job,
it.
Good job, Sliwa.
Sliwa, what's coming up on the show?
Om Yongmasuk will come on at 7 o'clock, and then Heather Dinich covers the college football for ESPN.
Wait a minute. We tried to get Heather Dinich.
Wait a minute.
She couldn't do it. Well, did she take it?
Is she in the can?
She can it later.
What are you going to do, right? You win some, you lose some, right?
Wait, is she live or is she in the can?
All right, maybe I already talked to Heather. Maybe I already had a conversation.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, fair enough.
All right, cool. Tomorrow we've got Andrew Friedman from the Dodgers, and we've got Kendrick Perkins. See you tomorrow. Sliwa Show's next, 710 ESPN.